Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Welcome to another broadcast of the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Now in our study series, True Prosperity, will be continuing on True Prosperity. Now, let's go to the Bible, and this is today's subject. God's will is prosperity in all areas. Now, 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I desire above all things that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." That is the true prosperity of God. We've seen for a couple sessions now on the relationship that we have with God. And now notice in 1 Peter 1:2-24. "Who himself bore our sins in our own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." If you need healing, the Lord God already provided it through Jesus. Now, there are many verses that speak on the peace of the Lord. There are many, the Lord wants us to have peace and healing, peace and healing, joy. The Bible says in Nehemiah, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Now go to Deuteronomy 8. In verse 11, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgment, and his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, you have built beautiful houses and dwell in them." Now, in our past session, we studied in the Gospel of Luke on that man who never counted the Lord in anything of his life. And one of the things that he was going to do, he himself asked. He himself answered the question. He said, "I'm going to tell my own soul." And the soul is where your emotions are. In your soul is where your mind is, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your memories, your intelligence. So he reasoned according to what he thought. He reasoned on his own intellect. God is not against you having a good intellect, but where your intellect contradicts the word of God is where the issue is. There's a big difference between submitting what you know to God and just simply thinking that you know it all and what you think is right, or just you heard to someone, some idiot on social media, now it's you. So that's two idiots saying the same thing, and on social media quickly all types of nonsense is spread out. And later on, we have a bunch of idiots saying the same thing, and those same idiots believe their own lie instead of honoring God and believing the Lord in what he says in his word. That's how this works. You either believe God or you don't, period. Without arguing, you cannot argue with the Bible. Now, God isn't against that you eat, that you rest, that you enjoy life. God is not against any of that. He is against what I just mentioned. Be your God. And you think that life is just based on eating and drinking and relaxing and resting and on vacations. and the different types of clothes or a different brand of clothes, or having a car of a certain model, or this or the other, of a home like this. If you think that it's only based on that, life is only based on that, then you're completely confused. That's only part of it. Now, I'm not against it. There are religious groups who will preach you against it, and you can that you cannot have anything. You have to be like a beggar. But I'm not speaking of that. Or that you don't have anything, or a beggar, or during summertime you can't even have a good air conditioning, or you can't even enjoy a heater or a good bed on which you can lie down or rest, or have comfortable clothes. I'm not against that. The Lord isn't against that. Therefore, I am not. But if you think it's the only thing that it's about, then not correct. And if you also think that you have to be poor and not have anything and sleep on the floor, those two doctrines are satanic. They're completely erroneous. But if you see it in line with the Word of God and compare it with the Word of God, then you can say, hey, God wants me to have things, but God also wants me to have enough to finance the gospel. Deuteronomy 8:12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, it's the will of God. God wants you to inhabit in good homes or wherever you live, but where you are comfortable. I say that because I know people, believers in Christ Jesus, givers for years, since they started giving to this day, millions of dollars into the work of the Lord. Be it in their churches or people, and they live in tremendous mansions, and glory to God. And no one should judge them. They are people who have sown and reap. They are generous people. Too generous. But I've also known people who are generous in the kingdom of God, and they live in a normal home without any luxuries, or of a home of a certain size. No, not in a big mansion. And I've asked some of them, of having so much money, how do you live that way? Well, I don't need a big home, they've told me. I don't need a big house with lots of luxuries. I remember this one man told me, I already had a very big home. And he told me that his wife would literally have to call him or send him a message in the same home, but of how big it was, because sometimes the wife was in one point of the house and he was in another. But their children had already married, moved out, didn't live with them anymore. And the house was just way too big for the both of them. It was too much house. And that's what they said. That's what he told me. We didn't need such a big home. They sold it and bought us a smaller home there in central Phoenix. You know, good homes, but homes that are more, let's say, they're a bit older, in a good state. Restored, but they were built perhaps in the 70s, the 60s, in good condition, and the value is very high there in those zones. But nevertheless, where he lived over in Scottsdale, Arizona, speaking specifically of this one person, he lived in Scottsdale in a zone made for mansions. Well, the plus value was even higher. And he said, well, my wife and I are comfortably live very comfortably. Everything's very, very central and close to us, and he likes it. But the man could live in a mansion. But what I'm saying is, I learned that there are people who will live where they want to live. It's not necessarily that they have to live in a mansion, but if they want to, by all means. Now, that's a good house. As you eat and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, And when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all you have is multiplied. Notice then how God wants you to multiply in all areas, including financial. But lest when you have, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. For them, Egypt was literal for them. For us, Egypt represents that we were brought out of the world. We were brought out of the world. Now let's read from verse 11, 12, 13, and 14 in the New Living Translation. New Living Translation. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Now some of you could say, but I don't have any cattle, I don't have any herds. Well, but your bank accounts, your businesses, your job, it increases money in your home, it gives you bonds or stocks perhaps, whatever it is. And you start increasing in a position in your job, getting promotions, getting more money. But apart from that, you make business on the side from your regular job. You have your own businesses. You increase that you do not forget. Be very careful not to forget the Lord. 14, do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from the slavery in the land of Egypt. Rescued you from the slavery in the land of Egypt. Amen. That is what you should see. Seeing the great difference then, that you do not forget of the Lord your God. How? Well, when you're a giver, then you're generous. You don't forget who your source is. To this day, when someone is generous in the kingdom of God, they say, God is my source. God is the one that prospers me and no one else. Amen. Verse 18. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. 18 in the New Living Translation. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with one oath. This is when the Lord said, in you shall be blessed, when the Lord told Abraham, in you shall be blessed all the nations of the world. The blessing starts when you are born again, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. In that moment, then, true blessing starts. Amen. In Acts 13, or Acts 3, 325, Acts 325. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That word there, blessed, is that is capable to prosper. You're capable to prosper. Inside of you is that ability to prosper. God will open doors. God will help you. God will give you ideas. God will be with you always. The Spirit of the Lord will direct you. When you hear from God, he will direct you. Amen. If you hear from the Lord will always direct you. And actually, the Lord is always directing you. He's speaking to us. More so, we're not paying attention. But God is always directing. People don't want to understand this. They don't like it because it goes against their carnal desires. But one of the simple and most practical ways of working this, and I believe it's the Lord that directs the majority of Christians to do so, to get out of debt is to eliminate spending. You have to eliminate spending. It's normal. If first year in economics, eliminate what you're spending excessively. Practice, sacrifice yourself for some time. No vacations, no eating out. For the moment that people hear this, oh, they don't like it. Oh, how, what? I don't know. I work all year and I work a lot and I deserve to rest. I'm not, again, in reality, we don't deserve anything. Everything that we have is by the grace of God. But using that term, which I personally detest that of, I deserve it. But if you're going to use it, I'd rather that my advice would be you don't. But just to make the point understood, no one is denying it. No one is saying that you don't deserve to rest or something of the sort. Nevertheless, you have to always think towards the future. And once you reach a point of stability, you never stop thinking in the future. Never said not to worry. Never said worrying or not sleeping because you're worried. I said thinking, meditating from here to another 5, 10, 15, 20 years. That's what this life is. We won't live here forever. And there are people who say, oh no, we won't live forever. This life is very short. So just spend whatever you want. At least you'll eventually die. That's a very irresponsible way of thinking. It's a very vulgar, very low way of thinking. My brothers and sisters, let's stay with the word of God and use wisdom. That's my best advice. Now, some advice that I normally share with the people is this. We will not live on this earth forever. That's true. Dealing with that, the life that we will live here, we should use it. The Bible tells us to use time wisely. Everything that we do, there should be wisdom there. Of everything that we do, everything that we say, there should be wisdom. Hallelujah. Acts 3:25, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our family, saying to Abraham, and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now, in Acts 26, verse 16. Verse 18, to open your eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those. This is a word of the Lord that spoke to Apostle Paul. Among those who are sanctified by faith in me. There's opening the eyes. There's light. There's revelation. Understanding. They go from being born again, or apologies, from being children of the devil to being children of the Lord. That they go from being heathen to being children of God. And then, once they're children of the Lord, it's a very long process in which we'll occupy on this earth in renewing our mind and our way of thinking. None of us have reached that point. Many have left, but we haven't reached that point yet. We still haven't reached that perfection in our way of thinking. While we're on this planet Earth, we're in this fleshly body, we're going to continue renewing this mind constantly. It's not something of, oh, I already know it. There's always new phases of revelation. There's always new layers of revelation and of understanding and of maturity. And the struggle then is in our mind. This is where we fight against all disobedience, all unbelief, all fear, all lack of submission. This is where it's at. This is where we need to stop having to do and think what we want to do. This is where we struggle. And it's that time of the Word of God where we'll continue renewing our minds and renewing our soul with the Lord, with the word, and remove that vain way of living and thinking day after day, month after month, year after year. Some could think, oh, well, that's so bothersome, Brother Hughes. It's so difficult. It's not bothersome. It's not difficult. It's a lifestyle. When it's a lifestyle, when you understand it, it's not bothersome. It's not difficult as some think. Oh, it's just too difficult, Brother Hughes. Please don't exaggerate. No, it's not that. It's in the Bible. And God wants you to have understanding. Hallelujah. Now in Proverbs, thank you, Lord. In Proverbs chapter 4. And follow along with me. Go to verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. That understanding is knowledge. The King James, original King James Version in English, the last part here, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Everything that you have, everything you have above all, get understanding. When you have a biblical understanding, then you're biblically intelligent. Another panorama, another source will open up for you. Amen. You won't be flowing like the rest, just saying, oh yeah, well, this one said on Facebook on prosperity and this and the other, and you like an idiot there following along. You're not going to be like that. There's a difference. You're different because you have wisdom. In other words, these verses that we saw in Acts, when we speak of all those in you shall be blessed and in all the nations of the earth. Acts 3.25, I mentioned Acts 3.25 and Acts 26.16. So all of this, what do you think you need for all of this? Money. You need money. If the people were sufficiently spiritual and heard from God, the Lord would tell them, go to that church over there in Douglas, that you can feed you correctly with the word. But since they aren't, then we have to go and use a massive outreach like television, radio, internet. There are people who still, to this day, massively watch more television. Certain demographic groups or age groups who watch more television than social media. And there are people who watch both. So then we're on both. There are people who still listen to radio. There are places where it's all they hear, just radio, because they don't even have good signal to watch social media or the internet. So they don't have anything else but to listen to the radio. So we go to the radio station. And it all costs money. But people receive the word. So some of you could say, well, what benefit do I have? Well, I don't even know those people. What do I care? Well, first of all, if you were born again, you should not think that way. It should be important. It's important to God. God is, the people are important to God. And God is interested in the spiritual growth of the people, and that the people are born again, that they can renew their mind. Actually, the new birth is a one-time event. If someone is born again, truly born again, it's just one time. I know there are churches who always preach that you have to be re-saved every Sunday if it is that you are cursing, but it's not that. If you were born again, it's a one-time event. But renewing your mind, renewing your way of thinking, is something that you will have to do. It's a lifetime event. One is a one-time event in life. The other one is a lifetime event forever while you're living on this planet Earth. People will continue to be born again, but we have to train them with the word now. We have to disciple them with the word of God. Teach them what the word says. Amen. Hallelujah.
There are many false doctrines. For example, I preach a lot on the grace of the Lord. But the grace of God has become so popular nowadays that there are churches who are, what they teach is a diluted grace. It's a false grace. There are Christians where they're in church and the service is over and then they go to a bar to go drink because they say, oh, we're under grace. They've been posting photos. Brother Houston, did those people lose their salvation? No, I'm not saying that. Are they going to go to hell, Brother Houston? Neither am I saying that as well. But where's the testimony then? Where's the testimony? For love of the people, you aren't going to be posting stupid photos of your behavior. Not the correct thing to do. Now you could say, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want. Well, there should be standards of what is right, what is wrong. If not, you're going to end up like the world. The world, they say, oh, I have my truth. And perhaps that's your truth, but you have to respect my truth. No, I don't have to respect anything. You know, a good definition or synonym of respect, according to the Earl Spanish Academy Dictionary, it means to accept. So I don't have to accept other things but the Bible. I can accept the people, and I can learn to respect the people as human beings and accept the person, but I don't have to accept their ideas. And someone told me, why do I have to accept yours? Well, first of all, you don't have to accept them. But if the answer is, the question is, why should I have to? It's because it's in line with the Word of God, but your ideas aren't in line. But I told someone a while ago. Amen. He said, oh, so are you trying to insinuate or say that you have the truth and I don't? And I said, no, not at all, no. Not trying to insinuate, I'm affirming it. Glory to God, I'm affirming it. And the reason is, it's right here with the Bible. The Word of God. And the Word of God. True. Amen. You want to see it, you want to accept it or not. The Word of God is true. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. It's true. Now, you have to obtain wisdom, understanding. Now, on the will of God, Joshua 22, verse 1. And spoke to them, saying, return with much riches to your tents, with very much livestock, with silver, with gold, with bronze, with iron, and with very much clothing. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. So when we have the finances, the sources, we are going to share the gospel, share the word of God through different avenues, that the people are born again. Then after they're born again, they continue discipling themselves with the word and sharing material, sharing study equipment with our brothers in Christ. Amen. Very difficult for some. Not difficult. It's something that would take a lot of time having to explain it. But there are people who think that, oh, a church, well, you have to help the world. Well, not necessarily. The world tells us to help the people. The Bible tells us to help families, spiritual families, or sheep of that same herd or flock. But it's not just helping to help. And there are sometimes people call us and ask for money, and I say, I don't even know some of them. Like, we don't even know who they are. So you have to be careful. You have to be directed from the Lord. But in general terms, this is speaking of sharing the word of God. I don't say share as sharing a video, although you can do so. I would appreciate it. But sharing the word through these avenues that I spoke of, even just having a local church. The local church has spending. We have to pay the light. You have to pay the bills that the church has just to maintain the building up for a month. Glory to God. I think it's very clear, very understandable. Now in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 12,
both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all, and your hand is power and might. In your hand is it to make great and to do strength to all. Now, who is all gives you the power then to all? We have to clarify who is all. This is speaking all those who have a heart to give, a generous heart. Amen. God wants us to understand these things, and it's the perfect will of God that exactly you prosper and not lack anything, because then you will be able to share to whom has needs. But you can't do it up until you don't first get out of that hole. Glory to God.
The Word of God says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life, and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and welcome to Word of Faith Ministries. We're all about sharing biblical, practical, and balanced teachings that you can trust. Through our teachings, special broadcasts, and live videos, we aim to spread the gospel far and wide. And if you share what we do, you're helping us reach even more people and keep this mission going. Thanks for being part of it.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Hi, I'm Kayla. I have a quick question for you. Did you enjoy our teachings? How about the Kingdom and Government episodes? We'd love to know how this content has made a difference in your life. If it's been helpful, go ahead and like the video and drop a comment. We'd love to know how God's Word is impacting you.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
We are grateful for your continued prayers and financial support, which are important for spreading God's word around the world. Giving to our ministry is both simple and secure. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and find the giving section where you will find a variety of giving options. To make a donation, fill out the donation form, enter your desired contribution amount, select the specific fund you wish to give to, add your preferred payment method, and click the Give button to finalize your donation. Upon completion, you will receive a confirmation of your donation. We want to reassure you that any amount you decide to give is a blessing and appreciated in our ongoing mission. Thank you for your support and for partnering with us.
Praise the Lord. Now, I want to thank all our faith partners and friends of Word of Faith Ministries that make all of these broadcasts possible, especially via radio and via television. Glory to God. As you participate in the reason of giving and offering and reaping, you'll do it now with good understanding. You'll see that it is the will of God. In 1 Chronicles 29:28, speaking of King David here, the Bible says, "So he died in good old age, full of days and riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his place." The difference is taking advantage here of, due to what I spoke on, a relationship with God. David died, as we just saw, old, full of age, full of glory and riches, and maintained his relationship with God. Very different to Solomon. Solomon was much richer,
God blessed him much greater financially, but he ended up wrong. Not because of money. It was more so he let himself be deceived by the women that he had. He disobeyed and ended wrong. The issue isn't money then. If you have the Lord Jesus has your money, and you will also know how to control that money. But if you stop having that relationship with God and then end up putting your sights on the material things, you'll end up wrong. You'll end up lost. And I mentioned this. Enjoy the television that you have, but over time you'll throw it away because it's obsolete. So that's what money is. Money is a tool to preach the gospel, to bless people. And it's a tool that we use to obtain things that we need or like. But always stay with that. Money is a tool. Very useful. I will never preach against money. I will always preach against the heart of the people. 1 Timothy 6. 6 verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith. The love of money. Notice how it doesn't say the root of evil is money, but the love of money, for which some strayed from faith in their greediness. Do not have a love for money. Have a love for God. Love God. A very terrible combination. You and money make a terrible combination. I'm speaking of money, of loving it. Of course, money here, loving money. That's the worst you can do. Now go to 2 Chronicles 17. We'll read from verse 1 to 5. Then Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his place. Okay, seems perhaps they didn't understand the instructions. 2 Chronicles 17. And we'll read from verse 1 to verse 5. Then Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his place and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and set garrisons in the land of Judah and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. 3. Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the former ways of his father David, and did not seek the Baals, or did not seek idols, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not according to the acts of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah gave presents to Jehoshaphat and had riches and honor in abundance. Notice how it was the people who brought that abundance to Jehoshaphat, those gifts. But they were influenced by God. God placed that in their hearts and the people obeyed. That's how God works. You speak to God, the Lord God speaks to their hearts and you respond to God when it comes to giving. That's why no one should obligate you. It should not be an obligation. It should be an honor for those who participate in giving. It should be an honor being able to give in the kingdom of God, to respond to the goodness of God, to respond to the love of God, and to participate of the laws of sowing and reaping, which God, out of love, has given us. Hallelujah. Amen. The truth. Giving should not be an obligation. Well, some Christians say, well, then why do we have to receive offerings every single service? Well, because the word was given and we give you the opportunity to sow in the kingdom of God. We give you the opportunity. Notice how I didn't say, how the Bible doesn't say to put a gun to your head and obligate you. We give the opportunity to give. And believe me, all of this is out of faith. This is by faith. Now I'm reading these verses because this is where the perfect will of God is. In 2 Chronicles 18, verse 1, Jehoshaphat had riches and honor in abundance. Riches and honor in abundance. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away their spoil, they found among them in an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off from themselves more than they could carry. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. They're the enemies of Israel. Now you have to read the context to understand, but the point is, God permitted that to happen, that they could pick up all those spoils because it was the will of God. But giving should be an act of your own free will, out of your heart, out of your generosity, because it gives us the opportunity. In other words, what I'm going to say, continuing on, may sound contrary to the minds, to the ways of thinking, to the religious, traditional ways of thinking for the people, or people, this is Christians who think like heathens, people with covetousness and greed. What I'm going to say continuing on is contrary to those types of minds. But if people who understand and have the Holy Spirit listen and understand and let the Lord reveal to them and speak to them, they'll understand it. It's an honor that God placed these laws of sowing and reaping. It's a privilege. The average Christian, when I say the average Christian, I refer to the majority of Christians. So the average Christian just wants to receive only. It's always just receiving. Receiving. Just for me. And they always ask for prayer. They want God to answer their prayers quickly. But they don't put time in the word. There's no word in them, but they just want to make petitions of prayer. They get in touch with the whole world so that the whole world can pray for them. But when it's about giving, or they supporting something, they're not going to do it. They want to hear just a message of the miracles of God, of healings in their lives, but they will not put the time to learn of finances. If someone teaches them, if a pastor ends up speaking of finances, the majority of the people will not go, only a certain group will go. If someone teaches them, or someone says, come, we'll see how to operate in the miracles, the church is going to be filled up. But if you teach them of prosperity, they're not going to want to go to. And at the same time, it's a very hypocritical life for the majority of them, because they're only going to work two jobs, they're going to miss out on church if it is that they have to work, because they're full of debt to pay off the debts that they have, and some of them are so foolish, they'll continue falling in more debt. They'll pay off a debt, and when they see that they paid off that debt, they're going to fall into another debt. Because they are people who simply do not want to change their way of thinking and control their own desires and control their flesh and control their impulses of just spending and spending and spending. Amen. Glory to God. This is so good. The good preaching. I like to speak with the truth. The truth has to be exposed. Has to be. And the truth sometimes isn't always received. But I need to share the truth. If you want to reject it, that's on you. If you're going to receive it, that's on you. Glory to God. But you have to see that this is the perfect will of God. Now in Genesis, if you give me a few seconds. Genesis 24. Read of Abraham here. Genesis 24, 34 and 35. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great and has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. The Lord gave Abraham this because Abraham had been obedient. Abraham, by this point, had developed a strong relationship with God. Nevertheless, the Lord wasn't done with him yet. Let's see how Abraham ended his life. In 25, verse 7 and 8. My God, it's here in the Bible. This is the sum of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 175 years. Verse 8, then Abraham breathed his last breath and died in good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Doesn't say, and Abraham ended up broke, no money, thrown in a corner, all peed up by dogs. Doesn't say that. Amen. It wasn't the perfect will of God. But there are people, or apologies, it's not the perfect will of God, and people end up dying that way. And this isn't to make fun, because perhaps there's a homeless out there. Now, of course, I'm not saying it that way. But there's a reason why people end up at a certain point or end up at that point. And I have compassion for the people. I'm a minister. I'm a pastor. And I'm interested in the well-being of the people. But speaking of this country, there are people who have decided. Some will listen to this and say, no, that's not true. It's because of the circumstances. That brothers and sisters, we have all gone through different circumstances. What makes different is then the decisions that we take. Amen. In Genesis 28, now I would like to read this whole chapter because the information is very good here. Speaking of Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, 28:10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. Now from 10 to 22. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and laid down on that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached the heaven, and there the angels of God were descending and ascending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham your father, and the God of Isaac. Now Abraham was his grandfather here, but the Bible sometimes says your father, as in your ancestor, as we saw a moment ago, of Jehoshaphat and of David. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also, your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Very similar to what he told Abraham. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of the Lord and in this gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put on his head. Can you imagine how uncomfortable that is? A stone as a pillow? Wow. Set it on a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. Verse 22, and this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Hallelujah. Everything that you give me, Lord, I will, the tenth shall be for you. That's what we should do. Now I know some people, oh, tithing is of the law. Well, later prove that it isn't of the law. It's of your greedy law. But it's not of the law of God. Tithing is still good to this day. Now, tithing is the 10%. There are people who have understood that. But 20 years just giving tithing, then they don't get out of that position. You're just investing the 10%. Your offering is when you give more than the 10%. But again, everything should be with understanding so that there can be faith. If there's understanding, the Apostle Paul said this, if there is the will, do you have that will available? Are you willing to do so? You'll do so in faith. You'll believe the Lord. You have joy in the moment of giving. Hallelujah. Amen. This is done like this, with a spirit of faith. Because you love God. And once you give, then you start believing the Lord. You'll lack nothing. You start confessing the word of God. Start saying, you go to the Bible. As I mentioned in some verses of financial prosperity, you read them out loud. You stop speaking scarcity and poverty. You stop falling into more debt to prove that you're blessed. No, you don't do that. That's nonsense. You have pleasure with what you have, glory to God. You start taking care and saying, I want to have money to be able to make my house bigger. So part of your acting is, I'll keep my house clean. I'll keep it in order. Amen. That's a corresponding action. You're not spending more than what is necessary than what you have. You guard your mouth. You guard your words. Believe the Lord. You trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Stay with that and you say, amen, I believe the Lord. I'm thankful with the Lord. And you start speaking abundance. All the people around you will not understand. Perhaps your family or people that know you do not see you very prosperous as the world would like to see you. Or according to the standards of the world. But you start speaking blessing. If you don't have much clothes, the few clothes that you do have, you take care of it, you wash them, you iron them. Amen. You shower, you shave, comb your hair, you don't have hair all over. Look, as if you just woke up. Giving a scare to fear. But you walk by faith. You act prosperous the best that you can. Don't fall in debt just trying to call clothes and maxing out your credit card in money that you don't have. That the people can see that you're prosperous. No, what you have, you keep it, you guard it, you bless it, you speak blessing, you sow in the kingdom. God will provide and you will see. Perhaps the Lord will speak to someone else, of people to buy you more. Buy your pair of tennis shoes or give you clothing, to buy you clothing. The Lord will help you in your job. The Lord will, he'll give you perhaps a bond or a stock saying, sell this. But it's God. You give all the glory to God. It won't be like the world, just, oh, I did this and we, it's because we're hard workers and I'm very intelligent and I am the other. No, you will give all glory to God because the Lord will direct your steps. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you see it in the word and you receive it. Amen. Were you ministered and were you fed with the word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to sow online tonight. or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that Word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true. And thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you. And we agree. And you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing. And not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise. Seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt. And he wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.
Be the first to be notified of our latest streamings by subscribing to our YouTube channel, Word of Faith Ministries. Don't forget to like, comment, and share.